بسم الله. بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله ومن ولا وبعد. Tonight this is our 14th session reading from التوضيح والبيان لشجرة الإيمان. The clarification and elucidation of the tree of faith by Al-Imam Abdurrahman ibn Nasir al-Sa'adi rahimahullah. Our discussion tonight is the completion of the section where the author rahimahullah has completed the evidences from Quran and Sunnah that prove the comprehensive definition of Iman. That Iman includes speech, action, and conviction in the heart. And in this section, after the conclusion of those evidences, the author, rahimahullah, mentions that if this is known, then also he wants to make a final point related to the definition of Iman, and that is that Iman increases and decreases. So this section is focused upon the point that Iman increases. As the people of Sunnah said that Iman yazidu bitta'a wa yanqusu bilma'asiyah, that Iman increases with obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and it decreases through disobedience. So this section is dealing with that. Last week we didn't complete any of the final points that the author made, which are examples of how the people of Iman, attended to and cared for and gave attention to the Iman with the intent of strengthening the Iman and increasing the Iman. They were not content to just have Iman, but they wanted to increase the level of Iman. Yani increase the level of their certainty from one level to a higher level. So those are the examples that the author closed with. We didn't complete those examples last week, so we're going to start with them this week after our quick review of some of the points that we covered last week. From the modified question and study guide from last week, modified because originally there were 8 questions and we didn't finish the last 3. So now we only have 5 questions. Modified study guide, lecture number 13. The first question, discuss the first argument of the author, rahimahullah, for the increase and decrease of Iman and its strengthening and weakening. What was the first argument that the author made, yani, for this to support this point that Iman increases and decreases? Basically, now.
The condition of a person increases and decreases while believing in performing the acts of Iman, and also the people, you look at the people around you and how the people, their belief goes up and down by the people.
Okay, if we look at the people around us, we see that the condition of the people is changing. Before the author mentioned that, before he mentioned what we experience in ourselves, from al-his and al-waqiyah, in the hal of the people around us, before he mentioned that, the first thing he began with, he said, if it has been confirmed, yani in the evidences that we just get finished mentioning, from the Quran and from the Sunnah, if it has been confirmed, what is the meaning of Iman? And that the meaning of Iman is that it is ismun jamiun, a comprehensive word, which includes within it the shara'i of Islam, and the usul of Iman, and the haqa'iq of ihsan, and the tawabiya, yani everything else that follows from that, from the umur of deen. If we have established this point, that Iman includes all of this, everything that is legislated in Islam, and all the fundamentals and foundations of Iman, and the realities of Ihsan, and whatever follows from those things, if we have established this, then it is also known. Yani, and he said, establish this from the evidences of Quran and Sunnah, then it becomes known to us, then, if that's a fact, that Iman includes all of these things, then it must mean then that Iman increases and decreases. Because the increase in any of these things increases Iman, and the decrease in any of these things decreases Iman. So this is the first argument that he made, that if we have proven by evidences from the Quran and Sunnah that Iman, yani, is comprehensive, including every aspect of the deen, all the levels of the deen of Allah, including Islam and Iman and Ihsan, if it includes all of that, then everything that's a part of those things, if it increases in a person, then his Iman increases or her Iman increases, and likewise the opposite. Question number 2, memorize a dalil or evidence from the Quran for the increase and decrease of Iman. And the author, he mentioned, yani 4 ayats here from Surah Al-Fath, 4th ayat, Surah Al-Mudathir, 31st ayat, Surah Al-Imran, 173rd ayat, and Surah Al-Tawbah, 124th ayah. Any of those ayahs, at least one of them, yani this point in our aqidah and our belief, not just yani as a theoretical, yani from a theoretical perspective, from a practical perspective, it's important that we understand that iman does increase and it does decrease, and we should have a proof for it. I mean, we shouldn't just be content to say, I know that iman increases and decreases, what's your proof? And at least one ayah from the Quran. At least one ayah from, somebody give me an ayah from the Quran. From those or other than that. Now.
الَّذِينَ قَالَ لَهُمُ النَّاسُ وَإِنَّ النَّاسَ قَدْ جَمَعُوا لَكُمْ فَخَشَوْهُمْ فزادهم إيمانا.
نعم.
وقالوا حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل.
طيب. أحسنت. Those people, يعني the Sahaba, the companions of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, who the people said to them, يعني the people have gathered, يعني to attack you, the Ahzab. So fear them. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, what? فزادهم الإيمان. But this rather than fear them, it increased them in iman. And they said, Allah is sufficient for us and the best one to take care of our affairs. فزادهم إيمانا. It increased them in iman. That means they had iman and they were increased in iman. And this is a proof that iman increases. And as the scholars of the past said and the contemporary scholars of the people of Sunnah, that anything that has the potential to increase, then also it has to, yani have the potential to decrease. There's nothing that can increase and can't decrease. Now, anybody else will suffice with one ayah, sufficient. Now, but yani the ayahs concerning this are so many, and very, very yani beautiful, important ayahs. The third question mentioned a dalil, evidence from the sunnah for the increase and decrease of iman. Yani not mentioned here in the text of the book because the author, he did it in this place. He didn't mention anything from the sunnah, but he alluded to it by saying that the proof of these things are in the Quran and in the Sunnah. And we mentioned a few yani hadith which prove increase or decrease of iman, strengthening or weakening of iman from amongst them. Yani from amongst them. Naam, the hadith of Abu Hurairah in Sahih Muslim, where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Al-mu'min al-qawi, yani the believer who has strong iman. That shows what? That iman can be strong and it can be weak. خَيْرٌ وَحَبُّ إِلَى اللَّهِ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنَ الدَّعِيفِ. That one who has strong iman is خَيْرٌ, better. وَحَبُّ إِلَى اللَّهِ, more beloved to Allah, مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنَ الدَّعِيفِ. Also a mu'min, but the iman is da'if. So this is a clear proof and evidence that iman can be strong, can be weak, can increase and decrease. Also, and he mentioned another hadith that's like very well known to us. He mentioned the end of it, the hadith where the Prophet ﷺ said, مَنْ رَأَى مِنْكُمْ مُنْكَرًا فَلْيُغَيِّرُهُ بِيَدِهِ. And whoever sees amongst you some munkar, any people abandoning their obligatory duties or engaging in that which is sinful, then change it with his hands. If he's unable, then change it with the tongue. And if he's unable, then change it with the heart. وَذَلِكَ أَدَعَفُ الْإِيمَانِ. And that is the weakest of iman. So there is iman that's strong, there is iman that's weak. And this is the weakest of iman. And this is also a clear proof. And he also mentioned, yani, the beginning of the hadith where the Prophet ﷺ spoke of the women. And he said, مَا رَأَيْتُ نَاقِصَاتُ أَقْلٍ وَدِينٍ. Yani, he didn't see, and the point here is that, yani, he said there was no one, yani, that he saw like these women who were able to take over the heart and the mind of a resolute, strong man. Yani, but he described them as what? ناقصات أقل ودين. And the point here, the shahid in this hadith is ناقصات دين, yani that there is some defect in the deen. And the Prophet ﷺ explained that defect in the deen is something that's natural. They're not blamed for it, but they are prevented by the way Allah created them from praying at certain times and fasting at certain times during the monthly cycle, menses. And therefore, yani the omission or the abstinence from those deeds by law, they can't engage in them, but nonetheless by not praying and by not fasting, that is a decrease in iman. In the same way, if a person prays more, there's increase in iman. Fasts more, there's increase in iman. If a person decreases in those things, that is yani decrease in iman, in their deen. And then we also mentioned the hadith of Hanzala, long hadith, but the point of the hadith is that يعني Hanzala radiallahu anhu, he said, one day I met Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, and he said to me, how are you, Hanzala? Yani, he said, nafaqa Hanzalatu. The Hanzala has become a hypocrite. Abu Bakr said, subhanAllah, what are you saying? And then he explained to him, when we were with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's reminding us of the nar and the jannah. Yani, ka'anna ra'yu aynin. It is as though we are seeing it with our eyes. And we are seeing this thing, the reality of it, with our eyes. But when we go back to our homes and we're playing and laughing with our children and our families and engaging in our business, يعني فنسينا كثيرا. Then we forget a lot of this, which we had, the condition that we're in by being reminded by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam of the paradise and the hellfire. Abu Bakr said, I'm experiencing the same thing. They went to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and Hanzala said the same thing to him, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to him, والذي نفسي بيدي إن لو تدومون على يعني حالة التي the حال that you're in عندي وفي الذكر لصافحتكم الملائكة على فروشكم وفي طرقكم ولكن يا حنظلة ساعة وساعة. And if you have remained in that condition that you're in when you're reminded of paradise and the hellfire, and it is as though you are seeing it with your eyes, the reality of paradise and hellfire, what that does to the iman of the believer and the condition of the believer, if you were to remain in that condition all the time, then the angels would come down and yani greet you. Yani they would yani shake hands with you in your beds and on the roads. And in the other narration they would greet you. Yani on the roads. Yani walakin ya hanzala sa'atan sa'atan. But he said, oh Hanzala, yani the reality of the human being is that sa'atan wa sa'atan. There's a time that's for the devotion to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and there's a time for you, yani, to take care of your other worldly affairs, your wife, your children, your business, and so on. And this is yani the reality of the human being. No one is expected to be in that condition all the time. But the point of this hadith is what? That the iman increases and decreases. Yani, that the condition of the believer doesn't remain stable, stagnant all the time. Rather, it may go up and it may go down. The iman may be strengthened, it may be weakened. And therefore, it is important for us to pay attention to this. And these, yani, the people narrated in this hadith are the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And from them is Abu Bakr Siddiq. He said, I experienced the same thing. And he is the strongest iman, the greatest of iman from the people of this ummah after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And so this is a proof that every believer yani experiences some increase or decrease of iman, and therefore it is incumbent upon us, knowing this, to attend to our iman, as we're going to see in what the Shaykh mentions and what follows. The next question, mention three aspects of iman. I better pay attention to this. 14. Now, mention three aspects of iman when there's a clear difference or superiority of some people over others. The author mentioned three things, three areas. Now,
those who are brought near, they are from the uppermost. They do that which is obligatory.
Not the three levels, the maratib, yani of the believers. He mentioned concerning aspects of iman. Those are yani the people who are zalimun li nafsi, yani husrutu fatir, and those who are muqtasid, and those who are sabiqun bil khayrat bi idhnillah. These are three levels that the author also mentioned. But here I'm referring to the three aspects of iman, not the three levels of iman, but the three aspects of iman, wherein people differ. The people of iman differ. They're not the same in these aspects of iman. They differ. Some of them are superior to others. He mentioned three areas, and these are examples. These are not the only areas. He said that they differ in knowledge and the ulum of iman. The knowledge of iman, people don't have the same knowledge. Naam. And they differ in? In actions, in their actions, their amal, their ibadat. They don't worship the same and do the same amount of worship, yani like this. And he also mentioned
character,
akhlaq al-iman. Yani the akhlaq, the morals and manners that are a part of iman. That this is also a part of iman. He said, in these areas, for example, the people are not the same. They differ. Some of them are superior to others. And the last question that we reached was give an example of the difference or the superiority of some people over others in these three aspects of iman. So the author, rahimahullah, he said, for example, in knowledge, the people don't have the same knowledge. And if there's two believers, one of them has Yani from the knowledge that's part of Iman, the knowledge of the deen. Person has knowledge that's strong and it's accurate, it's authentic. Huh? And he doesn't have any doubt or any confusion in it. While another one, he has some knowledge as well, but his knowledge is weak. And in addition to that, he has doubts and confusion about what he does have. So these people are not the same. They are both believers. They both have knowledge of Iman, some of the knowledge of Iman, but their knowledge is not the same. And then he said, also in character. Yani, if we look at the akhlaq of Iman, that the believers, yani, strive towards, based on what we found, encouraged in the Quran and in the Sunnah, he said there's sabr and hilm. And other than that of the characteristics, sidq, yani, fulfilling amana, avoiding khiyana, yani, qaram, whatever. Like, there are so many aspects of akhlaq. Yani, being dutiful to parents, keeping ties with one's relations. All of these are aspects of akhlaq in Islam. They are from the akhlaq of Iman, and we know for sure the people are not the same. Everybody doesn't have the same patience. Everybody doesn't have the same generosity. Everybody is not the same in fulfilling trust. Yani, and avoiding violating trust. People are not the same in these things, and therefore, and this is also a proof that people who have akhlaq of Iman, they differ in it. Some are far superior to others. Some don't have these characteristics at all. And some are stronger in them than others, even if both of them have it. And the last thing he mentioned was, yani, the amal, the ibadat. And he gave the example of two people praying the same prayer. And one of them, he's fulfilling all the huquq of the salat, inwardly and outwardly, everything that's required of him, and he's worshiping Allah as though he's seeing him. And the other one, he's performing the prayer outwardly, but inwardly, yani, he's occupied with something altogether different. And this is the same for every act of worship. Two people can be doing the same act of worship, whether it's fasting or whatever it might be, and the reality of the performance of that worship between one person and another may be the difference between the heavens and the earth, the difference between night and day. And this shows that the people differ even in the aspects of Iman that they share, but they are not equal in them. Tonight we're going to look at some examples that the author mentioned. After this, he said all of this is from Ziyadat al-Iman and the decrease of Iman. By the way, we're reading from Arabic, the bottom portion of the page 40. Bottom portion, page 40. And in the English, we're reading from the last two lines from page 41, going on to page 42. The last two lines of page 41 in English and the bottom portion of page 40 in Arabic, where the author, which we read last week, he said all of this that has been mentioned previously is from the increase and decrease of Iman and from the strength and weakening, strengthening and weakening of Iman. All of this, yani, shows this. Then he says, and he gives three examples here, and this is what he closed with, this chapter. He says, وَكَانَ خِيَارَ الْأُمَّةِ. So he talks first about the best of the believers of this ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The best of the believers, the sahaba. And everybody who came after them is less than them. So he said, well, these are the best of people. What better example than for us to follow? He says, وَكَانَ خِيَارُ الْأُمَّةِ الْمُعْتَنُونَ بِالْإِيمَانِ مِنْهُمْ يَتَعَاهَدُونَ إِيمَانَهُمْ كُلَّ وَقْتٍ وَيَجْتَهِدُونَ فِي زِيَادَتِهِ وَتَقْوِيَتِهِ وَفِي دَفْعِ الْمُعَارِضَاتِ الْمُنْقِصَ لَهُ وَيَجْتَهِدُونَ فِي ذَلِكَ وَيَسْأَلُونَ اللَّهَ أَنْ يُثَبِّتَ إِيمَانَهُمْ وَيَزِيدَهُمْ مِنْهُ مِنْ أُلُومِهِ وَأَعْمَالِهِ وَأَحْوَالِهِ فَنَسْأَلُ اللَّهَ أَنْ يَزِيدَنَا عِلْمًا وَيَقِينًا وَطُمَأْنِينَةً بِهِ وَبِذِكْرِهِ وَإِيمَانًا صَادِقًا آمين يَا رَبَّ الْعَالَمِينَ. So here the first group of people that the author mentions are the khiyar, the best, the chosen, the choicest people of this ummah, and those who gave care, gave attention, yani, to maintain their iman. The people who gave care to the iman, they gave attention to the iman. They used to what? يَتَعَاهَدُونَ إِمَانَهُمْ كُلَّ وَقْتٍ. Yani, they used to give attention to, they used to give care to their iman all the time. And iman, they knew the value of iman, they knew what this was, this is the core of everything. And therefore they used to pay attention to it. They used to pay attention to it all the time. And they used to strive and struggle and make an effort, yani, to increase their iman and to strengthen their iman. And this is an example for us, yani, that we should be constantly engaged in doing the things that strengthen our iman, that increase our iman. We shouldn't just take this matter lightly. Yani, this is how the companions of the Prophet ﷺ were, and they also used to strive and struggle and make effort, yani, to repulse those things that are in opposition to iman, that cause decrease of iman. To repulse those things, to push them back, to reject them, to abstain from them. They used to strive and struggle in this. And they used to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make their iman firm, and yuthabbit imanahum. To make their iman firm. They used to ask Allah. And they didn't just try, work hard themselves, strive and struggle, but they knew that there is no tawfiq except from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they used to ask Allah. And then we have to ask Allah all the time to make our iman firm and to increase our iman in all of its aspects. From the ulum of iman and the amal of iman, ahwal iman, yani, that Allah increase us in knowledge, that Allah increase us in good deeds, in worship, and to improve our conditions. And then the author, he closed by saying, yani, supplicating, asking Allah to increase us in knowledge and in certainty and in tuma'anina, yani, to be, yani, at peace, to be at rest, to be tranquil, and in the dhikr of Him, yani, to increase us in the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to increase us in truthful, sincere iman. So, tonight, inshallah, I'm going to read some comments from our Shaykh Abdul Razak, the son of Shaykh Abdul Muslim al-Abad, hafidhum Allah, may Allah protect and preserve both of them. Concerning this first portion, yani, the Shaykh, he says that the author, rahimahullah, says the khiyar of this ummah, those who gave care to the iman, tariqatuhum, what was their tariqah? The companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, in reference to iman, their tariqah was that they gave attention, they guarded, they protected, they preserved, they maintained their iman, because the iman, to them, it was أثمنوا شيء. It was the most valuable thing that they had. وَأَغْلَاهُ, and the most expensive. وَأَنْفَسُهُ, yani, the most valuable, precious thing that they had. So they used to guard it and protect it and maintain it to a great degree. وَكَانَ الصَّحَابَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ يَدْعُوا بَعْضُهُمْ بَعْضًا, and some of them used to call or invite, yani, one another to مَجَالِسَ الْعِلْمِ. And by the way, I want to mention here a hadith. Yani, the first time I read this hadith, it had a tremendous effect, and I hope that, yani, it will be a good reminder to us. Even though we heard it before or we didn't hear it, it doesn't matter. Yani, it's narrated authentically that Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiallahu anhu used to say, yani, يَقُولُ لِلرَّجُلِ مِنْ إِخْوَانِهِ. He used to say to one of his brothers, اجلس بنا فَلْنُؤْمِنْ سَاعَةً. اجلس بنا فلنؤمن ساعة. Just a few words, an invitation to, let's sit and, yani, engage in the activities of iman, in that which, yani, will maintain, will strengthen, will increase our iman. اجلس بنا فلنؤمن ساعة. Let's sit for not an hour, 60 minutes, but let's just sit for some time. It might be 5 minutes or 10 minutes or 1 hour, whatever. But let's sit for a moment, stop from whatever we are doing, engaged in, that's distracting us from the remembrance of Allah. Let's, yani, engage in, yani, the actions, the amal of iman. In the narration, it says that the meaning of this, فَيُجَالِسَانِ, so they would sit together, the two of them, فَيَذْكُرَانِ اللَّهِ, and they used to engage in the dhikr of Allah. وَيَحْمَدَانِهِ, and they used to praise and glorify Him. So this dhikr of Allah and praising and glorifying Allah is by words, and it's also, yani, not just by saying subhanallah, walhamdulillah, yani, not just in those, yani, mentioning of the words, but the dhikr of Allah also involves, yani, sitting in the gatherings of knowledge. learning and teaching the laws of Allah, the ahkam of Allah, yani the guidance that came in the Quran and the Sunnah, this is also from the dhikr of Allah. So they used to sit and engage in the remembrance of Allah and praise and glorify Allah, as it's narrated from Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiallahu anhu, by Ibn Abi Shaybah rahimahullah with Isnad al-Sahih. I wanted to mention that here because the Shaykh, he also, on this particular point, he mentions that the companions, they used to invite one another to engage in those things that are for the strengthening and increase of Iman. And many of the companions, this is narrated from them, that they used to invite one another to the majalis of Iman. And in some places he said, majalis al-ilm. In order to increase their Iman, the Iman of that person. So, here he mentions a report from the companion Umayr ibn Habib al-Khatmi radiallahu anhu. He was asked, أَيَزِيدُ الْإِيمَانُ وَيَنْقُصُ? Does Iman increase and decrease? And he said, نعم. إِذَا ذَكَرْنَا اللَّهَ وَصَبَّحْنَا زَادَ وَإِذَا غَفَلْنَا نَقَسَ. Yani if we remember Allah and praise and glorify Allah, then the Iman increases. And if we become unmindful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then it decreases. So the person who has Iman, yani whose Iman is important to him, then he guards and protects and maintains his Iman. He looks to see what are the asbab, what are the causes which will affect my Iman and cause it to become weak. So he stays away from those things. What are the asbab that will cause my Iman to increase? And he goes forward to engage in those things. So they used to maintain, guard and protect, observe and monitor their Iman. And they used to take account of themselves. And they used to strive and making every effort to increase their Iman and to distance themselves from being unmindful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they used to ask Allah to make them firm upon their Iman. And then the Shaykh says, وَكَانَ أَكْثَرْ دُعَى نَبِيِّنَا صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ يَا مُقَلِّبَ الْقُلُوبِ ثَبِّتْ قَلْبِي عَلَى دِينِكَ. Yani the most frequent supplication of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he used to say, Ya muqallib al-qulub, O the one who turns over the hearts. Thabbit qalbi ala deenik. Make my heart to be firm upon your deen. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that was his most frequent dua. He used to say it all the time. What about us? And how frequent do we say it? Ya muqallib al-qulub, thabbit qalbi ala deenik. Make my heart to be firm upon your deen. So they used to supplicate to Allah and they used to ask Allah to help them and they used to strive and make every effort for the strengthening of Iman. And then the Shaykh closes by saying the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُلَنَا وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَمَعَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. Yani that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, those who strive in our way, in our cause, in our deen, then we will guide them to our ways, yani that lead to all good. And indeed, Allah is with the muhsineen. After this, the second group that the author mentions, after mentioning khiyar al-ummah, the best of this ummah, the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he mentions another group of people who also did not take their iman for granted. Rather, they used to strive and struggle to increase their iman, to increase their level of yaqeen. He said, wa khiyaru al-khalqi. Yani the best of the creation. The best of creation. Meaning the prophets and the messengers. أيضاً يتلبون ويتنافسون في الوصول إلى عين اليقين بعد علم اليقين وإلى حق اليقين. Yani that the best people of this creation, the prophets and messengers, they used to seek and they used to compete and strive to achieve the level of عين اليقين. Yani the certainty of sight. And this, the scholars explain different ways. Some of the scholars said that Ayn al-Yaqeen means the certainty from seeing that thing. Yani like the person who knows about Jannah and Nar, and then they see it. But also some scholars explained it that this Ayn al-Yaqeen is the level of certainty that it is as though a person sees it. And that is what is mentioned in the hadith of Hanbalah. He said, كَأَنَّ رَأْيُ عَيْنٍ. Yani the Prophet ﷺ used to remind us of the Nar and the Jannah to the extent it was as though we actually saw it with our eyes. That's how it was for us. It was as though we are seeing it in reality. But the important thing is that this is another level. Yani, he said that they used to strive to reach the level Ayn al-Yaqeen Ba'da Ilm al-Yaqeen, after reaching the level of certainty of knowledge. Yani the people had knowledge from what they were taught, from what they heard, from what they read, from what they researched. So they had knowledge that brought them to a level of certainty, but then seeing it is another level, Ayn al-Yaqeen. Wa ila haqq al-Yaqeen. Yani, experiencing something in reality. Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah in the Fatawa, he said, and he gave it as an example of ilm al-Yaqeen, wa Ayn al-Yaqeen, wa haqq al-Yaqeen. Summarize, yani what he said. Like, it's come somewhat lengthy. But what he said it's like, for example, a person who's informed about honey. Somebody told you that there's such a thing as honey, and they described it and told you everything about it, and then you actually see honey. That's another level. Hearing about it, getting information about it, and then seeing it. Yani is another level. And then he said, the next level, yani haqq al-yaqeen, is that a person actually experiences it, they taste the honey. That's how Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah made a very simple yani example from the worldly affairs. From the affairs of deen, some of the scholars said that ilm al-yaqeen is like a person who read in the Quran and in the Sunnah about Jannah and Naar. So they know about it. And they are certain that it exists based on knowledge. But then one day the people will be brought forward and they will see the paradise and the hellfire. Rather, in the graves, the people will see the paradise and hellfire. A person who's going to hell will see what would have been their place in the paradise as a punishment for them. And a person will see their place in the hellfire. And then, after seeing it, yani the people of the paradise will enter. They will actually experience it. Haqq al-yaqeen. The paradise and the people of hellfire, wa na'udhu billah, yani min halihim, would yani experience that which Allah has yani prepared for them, for their disbelief and their disobedience to Him. May Allah save us from such. Yani the author, rahimahullah, he says, yani the best of creation, they used to strive to reach higher levels of certainty. From ilm al-yaqeen to ayn al-yaqeen, to haqq al-yaqeen. He said, كَمَا قَالَ اللَّهُ عَنْ إِبْرَهِيمَ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامِ. Like Allah said about Ibrahim alayhi salam, yani in Surah Al-Baqarah, second Surah, 260th ayah, وَإِذْ قَالَ إِبْرَهِيمُ رَبِّ أَرِنِي كَيْفَ تُحْيِي الْمَوْتَى. Yani remember when Ibrahim alayhi salam said, Oh my Lord, show me how. How? I want to see it. Show me how you give life to the dead. قَالَ أَوَلَمْ تُؤْمِنْ. Allah said, is it that you do not believe? قَالَ بَلَى. Yani indeed, I believe, no doubt. وَلَكِنْ لِيَطْمَعِنَّ قَلْبِي. But rather what I'm seeking is to give, yani, اطْمَعِنَّ, yani for my heart to be at rest, to be at peace. Yani, it's a higher level of certainty that comes from, yani after knowing the reality of it, that Allah will give life to the dead, that Allah has the ability to give life to the dead, seeing it actually happen. He wanted to see it. Yani to increase his level of iman, his level of yaqeen. قَالَ فَخُذْ أَرْبَعَةً من الطير فصورهن إليك. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, told him to take four birds and to train them or incline them to come to you. ثم جعل على كل جبل منهن جزءا. And then, yani as the scholars of tafsir said, yani after cutting them up, cutting the birds up into pieces, yani and mixing them up, put a portion of them on each mountain. ثم أدعوهن يأتينك Sa'ya. Then call them, and they will come to you, yani, quickly, rushing. وَعَلَمْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَزِيزٌ حَكِيمٌ. And know that Allah is all wise. Yani, that Allah is almighty and all wise. This is Surah Al-Baqarah, second Surah, 260th ayah. And then he mentioned another ayah, وَقَالَ تَعَالَى, from Surah Al-An'am, 6th Surah, 75th ayah. The saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَكَذَلِكَ نُورِي إِبْرَاهِيمَ مَلَكُوتُ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ لِيَكُونَ مِنَ الْمُوقِنِينَ. And likewise, yani we have shown, we have made Ibrahim to see, with his eyesight, the kingdom of the heavens and the earth, so that he would use this, what he saw, as an indication or the proof of the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he would be مِنَ الْمُوقِنِينَ, those who have certainty, yani al-yaqeen. Here, Shaykh Abdul Razak, Well, Mustafa, he has some lengthy commentary. I'm going to try to read some of it because of the time. He says concerning the best of creation, the prophets and the messengers, salawatullah alayhim wa salamuhu, he said they are the chosen of everything, of all of those in creation. And they also strive and make every effort and compete to reach higher levels of certainty. To reach the level of ayn al-yaqeen, ba'da ilm al-yaqeen. To reach the level of certainty that's based on seeing something after knowing with certainty that it is the truth. And the haqq al-yaqeen. So here he said, the author, he mentions an example, and that is the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala concerning Ibrahim alayhi salam, when Ibrahim said, "Oh my Lord, show me how you give life to the dead." And Allah said, "Do you not believe?" And he said, "Bala." And indeed he does believe. And the Shaykh says, "Al-yaqeen mawjood andahu alayhi salam." And he had certainty already. So when Allah said, "Do you not believe?" He said, "Yes, I believe. I'm certain about the matter." Walakin liyatma'inna qalbi. The Ibrahim alayhi salam, he has certainty about this reality that Allah gives life to the dead. And this is proven because when Allah asked him, "Do you not believe?" he said, "He does, for sure. No doubt." The scholars of tafsir, the Shaykh says, the scholars of tafsir concerning this saying, "Walakin liyatma'inna qalbi." More than one of the scholars of the Salaf, from the scholars of tafsir specifically, and what has been transmitted from them by Al-Imam Ibn Jarir al-Tabari, rahimahullah, and by Al-Imam Ibn Kathir, rahimahullah, in their tafsirs, the likes of Sa'id ibn Jubayr, and Ibrahim al-Nakhai, wa Mujahid, wa Qatada, and a number of other imams from the Salaf, from the scholars of tafsir, they said the meaning of his saying, لِيَطْمَعِنَّ قَلْبِي, أي لِيَزْدَادْ إِمَانِي. لِيَطْمَعِنَّ قَلْبِي, the reason why I'm asking you to show me this, is because I want my iman to increase. I want an increase of iman. I want to take it to another level. The iman is there, but he's asking for what? Ziyada. And the ziyada that he's asking for here is al-mu'ayana, that he wants to see it with his eyes. He has ilm al-yaqeen already, but now he wants ayn al-yaqeen. And this is a level, a very high, strong level, ayn al-yaqeen. It is that a person sees something with their eyes, that they witness it with their eyesight. Then the Shaykh, he says, to the rest of the ayat, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him to take four birds and to train them to come to you, to cut them up and to place them on different mountains, and then to call them and they will come to you rushing. He explains that the meaning of this ayat, خُذْ أَرْبَعَةً مِنَ الطَّيْرِ, he said it means to cut them up into pieces, into small pieces, and then to mix these pieces together. And then, to take these mixed up pieces from the birds and put them, on mountains. Place them on mountains, portions of the mixed up portions of the bird on different mountains, and then call them and they will come to you rushing. And they did come to him rushing, with each of them returning to its original form. The parts of the birds, of each of them, came back into its original position. Allah brought it back to life as it was before. They were killed before they were cut up. All the parts of the body, the blood, the hair, the feathers, every part of it, returned to as it was originally. And Ibrahim alayhi salam witnessed this, and this is what he was requesting, to take it to another level of ayn al-yaqeen. So what is he requesting here is increase ziyadat al-yaqeen. As far as him having yaqeen, he had yaqeen, no doubt, but he wanted an increase in iman. Yazdad imani, wa yaqeeni. So he asks for increase of iman. And this, is the condition of those people who are the best of creation. The prophets and messengers, rather from the best of them, Ibrahim alayhi salam, they were striving for increase of iman. Higher levels, of iman and yaqeen. Now, and then the Shaykh, he closes by saying, this is very different from the people who consider themselves, who praise and glorify themselves, and who are amazed at themselves, who consider themselves to have arrived. The prophets and messengers, they didn't say, "I arrived." They wanted to take it to a higher level. Now, and then the last thing that the Shaykh mentions, Allahu Musta'an. The last thing that the author, rahimahullah, mentions in this chapter, he says, "Wal Hawariyun, Khawas Atba' Isa ibn Maryam, alayhi salam, hina talabu nuzul al-ma'ida, wa wa'adahum Isa an hadha talab." Yani that the companions of Isa alayhi salam, those who were the closest of his followers, when they requested him, yani to ask Allah to send down a ma'ida, to send down some food for them to eat from, and Isa alayhi salam, yani admonished them concerning this request, they said, yani as it came in the Quran, qalu nuridu, yani after he admonished them, they explained to him why they're asking for this. Yani they're explaining that we're not just asking, yani just to be asking, but there's a need here, we have some need here. Qalu نُرِيدُ أَن نَأْكُلَ مِنْهَا وَتَطْمَئِنَّ قُلُوبُنَا وَنَعْلَمَ أَنَّ قَدْ صَدَقْتَنَا وَنَكُونَ عَلَيْهَا مِنَ الشَّاهِدِينَ. This is Surah Al-Ma'idah, 5th Surah, 113th Ayat. Yani they explained to Isa alayhi salam, as he admonished them, they said, we want to eat from it. Yani we have a need, we're hungry, we need some food. Yani, from one side. وَتَطْمَئِنَّ قُلُوبُنَا. And also, we want our hearts to be at rest, meaning we want yani ziyadat al-iman, ziyadat al-yaqeen. And we want to know that you have told us the truth in your claim of prophethood and what you yani are calling us to. And then we will be witnesses. Yani after we witness this, we will be witnesses to the people behind us. فَذَكَرُوا حَاجَتَهُمْ الدُّنْيَوِيَّةِ. So they mentioned to Isa alayhi salam their worldly need, that we had a need for some food. We actually have worldly needs. وَهَاجَتُهُمْ الْعِلْمِيَّةِ الْإِيمَانِيَّةِ. And then they also mention their yani need, yani their knowledge base and iman base need for this. Yani when they would see this ayah with their eyes, then yani this would benefit them to take them to a new level. Yani after ilm al-yaqeen to ayn al-yaqeen. The Shaykh comments on this. He says, Shaykh Abdul Razak, hafizahullah, may Allah protect and preserve him and his father. He says, the Hawariyun, they were the close followers and companions of the Prophet Isa alayhi salam, and they requested from him that he ask Allah to send down yani a ma'idah upon them. And he admonished them concerning this, so they mentioned to him why they requested it. They said, we want to eat from it. And this is what the author mentions as hajat dunyawiyah. Yani the hajat dunyawiyah. That they had a worldly need. Yani just to eat some food. And so they requested that some food be sent down to them from this aspect. He said, well, amr al-akhir. But the other thing that they requested, لِتَطْمَئِنَّ قُلُوبُنَا. Yani he said, the other thing that they requested is their hajat ilmiya imaniyah. Yani increase in knowledge that leads to increase in iman and yaqeen. And also so that we will be yani witnesses. Yani after we have actually seen this with our eyes. The Shaykh, he says, فَهَذَا قُلُّهُ مِنْ بَابْ زِيَادَةِ الْإِيمَانِ. All of this is related to increase of iman. Yani فَطْمَئِنَّ قُلُوبُنَا, he said, تَزْدَادْ إِمَانًا وَيَقِينًا. So that we'll be increased. Yani our hearts will be infected in a way that we'll be increased in iman and yaqeen. And this point, this tells us, it makes us to know that a person is incumbent upon every one of us to give careful attention to our iman, to the aspects of the things that indicate and prove, the proofs of iman, that we should be doing the things that strengthen our iman, that increase our iman upon the iman that we already have. And then he mentions, yani one of the ayats that we mentioned last week, وَإِذَا مَا أُنزِلَتْ سُورَةٌ فَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ يَقُولُ أَيُّكُمْ زَادَتُ هَذِهِ إِيمَانًا. Yani so, whenever a surah would come down, some of them would say, meaning some of the hypocrites would say to the believers, which one of you is increased in iman from this, yani which has been revealed? فَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا فَزَادَتْهُمْ إِيمَانًا وَهُمْ يَسْتَبْشِرُونَ. But as for those who believed, then they were increased in iman, and they rejoiced. yani that which came to them. As for those who have yani sickness in their hearts, then they were increased in filth, yani in kufr, and whatever was contained in their heart, and they died as disbelievers. So these are three examples that the author Imamullah mentions concerning the people before us, the people of Iman, from amongst the best of this ummah, from amongst the best of creation, the prophets and messengers, and from the followers of the Prophet Isa, from the followers of the prophets, alayhi salam, how they used to not be content with whatever Iman they had. They guarded it, they protected it, they preserved it, they did whatever they could to strengthen it and increase it, and to protect it from weakness and decrease. And this is an example for us. This is the end of what he says concerning this. We still have a few minutes. So I'm going to take these few minutes to try to give us a benefit that I felt is tremendous. Before we go into the next chapter, where the author talks about the essential components of Iman, and those things that bring about increase of Iman and strengthening of Iman. And he discusses it in detail. And he mentions it from two perspectives. Yani the general ways of increase of Iman, and then he mentions the detailed ways of increase of Iman. Sheikh Abdul Razak, in his book concerning this topic of increase and decrease, he presents it from a different perspective. Yani the things that increase of Iman from the perspective of that which increases Iman from internally, and that which increases Iman externally. And likewise decrease of Iman, yani internally and external causes of increase and decrease of Iman. Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah presents it from a different perspective. The things that increase and decrease of Iman. This is, yani the scholars explained it in different ways, but when you look at it, it's all the same. It's just, yani increase. Yani each one explaining it in a way that increases your knowledge, yani, and benefits more and more. This is a summary of what Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah said in his book, Al-Aqidah al-Hamawiyyah. A summary of what he said. Yani the summary is from Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen in his book Fath Rabb al-Bariyah bi-Talkhis al-Hamawiyyah. Yani Shaykh al-Uthaymeen summarized the book of Shaykh al-Islam al-Uthaymeen al-Hamawiyyah, al-Aqidah al-Hamawiyyah. In this summary, in the last chapter dealing with Islam and Iman, is divided into four parts. This is one part of that last chapter. This is one part of the last chapter of Hamawiyyah, the Talkhis of Hamawiyyah by Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen. And the original book is Shaykh al-Islam al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah. He says, Fasl. I better watch this time. Okay. Good. This is a tremendous benefit, really. I mean, I've read this like lots of times. Every time I read it, it's like beneficial. So I hope you will also benefit from it. I will probably go through it a little quickly, just so that we can finish. So he divides it into two parts. And he thinks the causes of increase of Iman and then the causes of decrease of Iman. He mentions four things that are main causes of increase of Iman. And then he mentions four things that are main causes of decrease of Iman. The main causes of decrease of Iman are the opposite of the causes of increase of Iman. So they're just the opposite. If you know the four things that increase Iman, then the opposite of them is decrease of Iman. Except that Shaykh al-Islam Taymiyyah mentions some benefits in some of them that you can't do without. You have to hear it, right? You have to read it. You have to know it. You have to learn it. And then we have to act upon it. And we have to act upon these are the things, the main things that increase Iman. These are the main things that decrease Iman. We have to work on ourselves. لزيادة الإيمان أسباب منها يعني the increase of Iman has causes from amongst them. These are not all of them. He said منها, that means some of them, and he mentions four. The first of them, معرفة أسماء الله وصفاته. The first one is being familiar with knowing the names of Allah and His sifat. Then he has some brief comment. Second of them, النظر في آيات الله الكونية والشرعية. Yani looking at, reflecting upon, examining the signs of Allah in the creation, things that Allah created, and in the Sharia, the laws that Allah legislated. Then he has some some speech concerning that, brief. Then he says, three, fi'l al-ta'at, yani doing acts of obedience. And then he has some detailed explanation concerning the third one, doing acts of obedience. And then he says, number four, abandoning al-ma'asiyah, tarku al-ma'asiyah, khawfan min Allah azza wa jalla, abandoning acts of disobedience out of fear, abandoning them out of fear of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Okay, these are the four main causes of increase of iman. Knowing Allah's names and sifat, looking at and examining the ayat of Allah, the signs of Allah in the creation and in the revelation. Doing acts of obedience, abandoning acts of disobedience out of fear of Allah. The opposite of them, in case I don't finish it, yani he says, وَأَمَّا نَقْصُ الْإِيمَانِ فَلَهُ أَسْبَابٌ. And likewise, the decrease of iman has causes. So here he mentions four of them, the opposite of the first four. The first one, الْجَهَلُ بِاللَّهِ تَعَالَى وَأَسْمَائِهِ وَصِفَاتِهِ. Being ignorant of Allah, the Most High, and being ignorant of His names and His characteristics and qualities. The second one, الْغَفْلَةُ وَالْإِعْرَادُ عَنْ النَّظَرِ فِي آيَاتِ اللَّهِ وَأَحْكَامِهِ الْقَوْنِيَ وَالشَّرْعِيَةِ. Yani being heedless and indifferent and turning away. Yani not being concerned to examine or to look at the ayat of Allah and the creation. Or the ahkam, the laws of Allah and the sharia. The third one, fi'l al-ma'asiyah. Doing acts of disobedience is the main cause of decrease of iman. And he gives a detailed explanation of that. And then he says the fourth one, tarq at-ta'a. Abandoning acts of obedience is a cause of decrease of iman. And he also gives a explanation of all of that. Okay, so just so that we have what are these four causes of increase of iman, we have what are the four causes of decrease of iman, and now the commentary concerning each of them. Some of it is brief and some of it is detailed. The first cause of increase of iman, knowing the names of Allah and His sifat, he said, indeed the servant, the more that person increases in their knowledge of the names of Allah and His sifat, and what they necessitate, what they require a person to do, not just knowing Allah's names, but what they necessitate, and the effects that they have in the creation and in our lives. The more a person knows this, the more they will be increased in three things. Imanan bi rabbihi, wa hubban lahu wa ta'zeeman. The more that person will be increased in what? Iman in their Rabb, and love for him, and ta'zeem, yani honor and exaltation of him. Shaykh al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullah, in another book, yani he talks about this topic, he said, yani hubban, yani it's the love of Allah that causes the person to be obedient to him. So the more a person increases the love of Allah, the more they're going to be obedient to him. Ta'zeeman, the more a person honors, exalts, and glorifies Allah, the more they're going to abstain from disobedience to Allah. So the more a person is increased, yani in hub for Allah and ta'zeem of Allah, the more they're going to be obedient to Allah and avoid disobedience. The second one, another fi ayatillah al-kawniyya wa shar'iyya, looking at, examining, inspecting, reflecting upon the signs of Allah in the creation of what He has created, and in the sharia what He has legislated. The more that a person examines, looks at, contemplates and reflects upon the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and what they include of al-qudra al-bahira wal-hikma al-baligha, yani Allah's brilliant, magnificent power in what He has created, and Allah's far-reaching, supreme wisdom and what He has legislated. The more a person looks at this, contemplates and reflects upon it, the more they will be increased in iman and yaqeen, without a doubt. The third one, fi'l ta'at. This is something that we have to really, and try to apply to ourselves. Doing acts of obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And here the Shaykh gives some detail that of great importance. Yani, hopefully we'll make some notes for it, inshallah. Indeed, iman is increased by acts of obedience. بِحَسَبِ حُسْنِ الْعَمَلِ وَجِنْسِهِ وَكَثْرَتِهِ. Yani, iman is increased by doing acts of obedience in accordance with the excellence with which a person does that deed. How well they do it. وَجِنْسِهِ, and the type of deed it is, because not all good deeds are the same. وَكَثْرَتِهِ, and the amount, yani the quantity to which a person engages in those good deeds. So the iman will be increased, but in accordance with three things. How well you do the good deed, what type of good deed it is, some of them are more excellent than others, and how much of it you do. The goodness, husnul amal, the goodness, how well you do it, he said, this is in accordance with ikhlas and mutaba'ah. That you do it sincerely for the sake of Allah, and following the sharia, the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's what will make it being done well. That you do it with ikhlas, and following the sunnah. وَأَمَّا جِنْسُ الْعَمَلِ, as far as the type of the deed, that some deeds are better than others, then indeed that which is obligatory is better than that which is يعني مسنون, يعني sunnah, it's not obligatory. And some acts of obedience are more emphasized, يعني more stressed, أوقد وأفضل من بعد الآخر, than others. Some are more stressed, like the two rak'ah of sunnah of Fajr, is more stressed, more emphasized than the four rak'ah of Dhuhr, or two rak'ah after Dhuhr, or two rak'ah after Maghrib, or two rak'ah after Isha. They're all sunnah, but they're not the same. Some are more stressed, more emphasized. The obligatory is better than the sunnah. And some acts of obedience, even if they're not obligatory, are more emphasized and better than others. So the more a person, كُلُّ مَا كَانَتْ أَطَاعَ أَفْضَلْ, or the more the deed is better, from the better type of deeds, obligatory deeds or more stressed deeds, the more that we find a person doing that kind of deed, then the greater will be the increase of iman. Yani a person's iman will increase more by doing that type of deed than by doing the lesser good deed. وَأَمَّا كَثْرَةُ الْعَمَلِ, as far as the, يعني the quantity of the deeds, indeed iman is increased by doing more and more of good deeds, because good deeds are from iman, no doubt. يعني every good deed is an aspect, every act of obedience to Allah is a part of iman. So there is no doubt that iman will be increased, يعني by doing more good deeds. Doing it with ikhlas and mutaba'ah. And then choosing the deeds, the best of deeds, over lesser deeds. And then doing them plentifully. The fourth point he says, تَرْكْ الْمَعَسِيَةِ خَوْفًا مِنَ اللَّهِ. Yani the fourth thing is, abandoning acts of disobedience, not because somebody's watching. Not because, yani they caught you in the act. But abandoning out of fear of Allah Azza wa Jalla. The more, the greater is the call or the urge to do an act of disobedience, the greater is the urge to do the act of disobedience, the greater will be the increase of iman by leaving it. And the more compelled the person is to commit a sin, if they leave it, the greater will be the increase of iman by leaving that which is yani calling you all the time, strongly. Yani it's not the same. Abandoning something that's easy to leave is not the same as abandoning something that's difficult to leave. And when you abandon that which is hard to leave, the iman will be increased more by abandoning that. And that is because leaving that deed, while the urge to do it is very strong, is a proof of quwwat iman al-abd. It's a proof of the strength of the iman of that person. وَتَقْدِيمِهِ مَا يُحِبُّهُ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ عَلَى مَا تَهْوَاهُ نَفْسُهُ. And this is also a proof that that person is given preference and precedence to what is loved by Allah and His Messenger over what their soul desires. As far as the decrease of iman, it also has causes, and we mentioned those four, and there's a little bit of detail concerning them. Naam. Quickly. The first of them is the opposite of the first increase of iman, right? Knowing Allah and His sifat and asma, ignorance of Allah and His asma and His sifat. Yani not knowing about Allah's names and characteristics. He didn't go into any detail there. The second of them, al-ghaflatu wal-i'rad an an-nadhr fi ayati Allah wa ahkamihi al-kawniyya wa shar'iyya. Yani a person being neglectful, being heedless, being indifferent, and turning away from looking at, examining, contemplating the ayat of Allah in the universe and the ahkam of Allah, the legal rulings, the legislations that Allah has placed in His Sharia. Being heedless of this, unmindful, indifferent, careless about it. Indeed, this necessarily brings about sickness of the heart if a person does that, or its death. Because that person's heart would then be overcome by the shahwat and the shubahat. Yani their desires will overcome them, and the doubtful matters will overcome them if they're not yani care, if they don't have care to look at the signs of Allah in the creation and in the Sharia. The third point he says, فعل المعصية, doing acts of disobedience. Doing acts of disobedience is from the main causes of decrease of iman. The scholars of the people of Sunnah said that iman is قولٌ وعملٌ واعتقادٌ يزيد بالطاعة وينقص بالمعصية. That iman increases by obedience and it decreases by disobedience. So every act of disobedience to Allah is a cause of decrease of iman. فَيَنْقُصُ الْإِيمَانِ بِحَسَبْ جِنْسِهِ. Here the Shaykh al-Islam Taymiyyah gives some detail concerning abandoning disobedience or committing acts of disobedience. He said iman is decreased by committing an act of disobedience, but in accordance with jinsiha, the type of act that you are doing. Iman is decreased, right, by a person committing an act of disobedience in accordance with what type of sin it is. وَقَدْرِهَا, and the amount of yani times the person commits those sins. وَتَهَاوُن بِهَا, and that a person what? Considers it to be insignificant. It's little. Yani to take it lightly, committing acts of disobedience. The more a person thinks it's nothing, the more their iman will decrease by committing that thing. And the fourth thing he said, قُوَتَ دَعِيَ إِلَيْهَا أَوْ ضَعَفِهِ, yani the strength of the urge or the weakness of the urge to do it. And he said that the act of disobedience, it causes decrease of iman in consideration of four things. The type of sin it is, the amount of sins the person commits, yani the way they view it, as the way they view that sin as being insignificant, even though it's disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Or also in accordance with the strength or the weakness of the urge to do it. And then he explains each of them. Then he explains each of them. Allahu musta'an. So he says, as far as the type of deed and the amount of deed, he said the decrease of iman by committing the greater sins, the kaba'ir, the decrease is going to be greater than the decrease by committing the lesser sins, the saghair. And the decrease of iman by killing a person, an innocent person that's protected by the law, is going to create a greater decrease in iman than the decrease that's caused by taking wealth that's unlawful to take, that you don't have a right to take. And if the decrease is not going to be the same. The decrease of iman from committing two sins is going to be greater than the decrease of iman of committing one sin. This is in reference to what? The type of sin and the amount. Different types of sins are going to cause a greater decrease of iman and the amounts that you do it in. أَمَّا تَهَاوَنْ بِهَا, as far as the person considering their sin as insignificant, indeed the disobedience, if it is coming from a heart that is مُتَهَاوِنْ بِمَنْ عَصَاهُ, yani that is taken lightly, the fact that they are in disobedience to Allah. Yani they're not considering it important that they are disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they are weak, da'if al-khawf minhu. They are weak in their fear of Allah. They don't have a lot of fear of Allah. The sin that comes from this kind of heart, then the decrease of iman by it is going to be greater than the decrease of iman from the sin committed by the heart that is mu'azzim lillahi ta'ala shadeed khawf minhu. Yani the one that honors and exalts Allah and has extreme fear of Him. Even though they committed the sin, but they are fearful of Allah. And they consider it to be a horrible thing. But, yani it happened that they, due to some neglect, they fell into sin. But it's not going to be the same. Because what? The heart that is concerned and fearful of Allah is different from the heart that has no concern about Allah. أَمَّا قُوَّةَ دَعِي إِلَيْهِ, as far as the strength or the strong urge to do the sin, so the sin which comes from the one who the call or the urge to commit the sin is weak. Yani it's not a strong urge to do it. The one who commits the sin with that condition, then the decrease of iman is going to be greater than the decrease of iman from the one who has a stronger urge and call to commit the sin. So it's more difficult for them to resist. And for this reason, the proud, poor person and the elderly person who commits zina, this is a greater sin than the sin of the rich person who's arrogant or proud over his wealth, or the young person who commits zina, because they are young. And this, as it came in the hadith, that the Prophet ﷺ said, the meaning of which is, there are three people, Allah will not speak to them, He will not look at them on Yawm al-Qiyamah, He will not purify them, and for them is a terrible, painful punishment. And then he mentioned the old gray-headed man who commits zina. And then he mentioned the poor person who is proud and arrogant. Proud of what? Due to what? The weakness of the urge to commit this kind of sin in those two people. And if there's no strong call for a poor person to be arrogant, or for an old man to commit zina, not like it is in the other people. And the last thing, and we close with this, is tark at-ta'ah, from the things that decrease of iman, from the main things that decrease iman, is abandoning acts of obedience. And Shaykh al-Islam Taymiyyah goes into some detail here, but this is what we're going to close with. Now, the iman is decreased by abandoning acts of obedience. And the decrease that's caused by it will be in accordance with حسب تأكد الطاعة. Yani, the decrease that's caused by abandoning acts of obedience will be in accordance with or in consideration of how stressed or how emphasized that act of obedience is. Yani, the more stressed or emphasizes the act of obedience, then leaving it is going to cause a greater decrease of iman. So the more that thing is stressed, then the abandoning of it will cause a greater decrease of iman. And perhaps, depending on what kind of deed it is, a person will lose their iman completely. Like the abandoning of salat. Yani, the person who abandons salat goes out of Islam. As the Prophet ﷺ said in a number of hadith from amongst them, الْأَحْدَ الَّذِي بَيْنَنَا وَبَيْنَهُمْ الصَّلَاةِ فَمَنْ تَرَكَهَا فَقَدْ كَفَرَ. Yani, that the ahd, the covenant that's between us and them, the disbelievers, is the salat. Tarka salat. So whoever abandons the salat is going out of Islam. Then he closes with this point, إِنَّ نَقْسَ الْإِمَانِ بِتَرْكَ تَعَى عَلَى نَوْعَيْنِ. Yani, that the decrease of iman that comes from abandoning acts of obedience are of two types. The decrease of iman that comes from abandoning acts of obedience are of two types. نَوْعٌ يُعَاقَبُ عَلَيْهِ. There's one type. If a person abandons it, they will be punished for it. And if they're subject to be punished for it. وَهُوَ تَرْكَ الْوَاجِبِ بِلَا عُذْرٍ. That is, the one who abandons an obligatory deed without any sharia excuse, exemption. That's one type. The one that if a person abandons it, not only it decreases their iman, but they're subject to be punished for it. Like the one who abandons the obligatory duty without a sharia excuse. The second type, he said, نَوْعٌ لَا يُعَاقَبْ عَلَيْهِ. The one that a person would not be punished for. Even though it would cause decrease of iman, but they would not be punished for it. وَهُوَ تَرْكَ الْوَاجِبِ لِعُذَ الشَّرْعِي. And that is when a person abandons an obligatory duty, but they have a sharia excuse, أَوْ حِسِّي, أَوْ عُذَ حِسِّي. Yani, they abandon an obligatory duty, but they have a legitimate excuse. They have a shar'i excuse. وَتَرْكَ الْمُسْتَحَبِ. And also abandoning, yani the second type, that a person abandons an act of obedience, they will not be punished for, is one, they abandon obligatory duty, but they have a legitimate excuse. And the other way is that they abandon that which is mustahab. It's not obligatory. So they would not be punished for it, but it would cause decrease of iman. Either way you look at it, it caused decrease of iman. But here Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah is saying what? That there are two types of yani deeds. The abandonment of which caused decrease of iman. One you will be punished for, the other one you will not be punished for. But both of them cause decrease of iman. And then he gives an example of yani the second type, that you will not be punished yani for example, leaving an obligatory duty with an excuse, or leaving a thing that is mustahab, commendable, beloved, yani praised by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This or that, he said. He mentioned two things here under that type that you will not be punished for. He said, فَالْأَوَّلْ كَالْتَرْكْ الْمَرْعِ الصَّلَاةِ أَيَّامَ الْحَيْدِ. Yani the first of them is like a woman who abandons salat during the time of menses. Okay? She has what? Abandoned an obligatory duty, but with a shar'i excuse. والثاني كترك صلاة الدوحة. And the second one, that is abandoning something that will cause decrease of iman, but you'll not be punished for it. Yani is like abandoning something that's mustahab. He said the example of that is abandoning, like abandoning salat al-duha. Yani voluntary, optional prayer before noon. Wallahu a'lam. This is the end of what he said, and I'm going to stop here. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. I want to say, even though we closed already, I just want to say that the official time for this class is from 7 to 8:15. Yes. Allahumma sta'an. We try to stop at 8 o'clock, just as a convenience. Okay, so next week, inshallah, we're going to go into the next chapter of the book, the essential components, the essential elements of iman, the things that cause increase of iman and strengthening of iman. And the Shaykh mentions, from a different perspective than what we read here from Hamawiyah, and from a different perspective from what Shaykh Abdul Razak mentioned in his book, Asbab Ziyadat al-Iman wa Nuqsani. He's going to mention, some details with evidences and proofs of things that we need to give attention to, all of them, because these are some of the main causes of increase of iman. Jazakum Allah khair wa barakallahu fikum.